now recording. I had this, so we're going to kind of start from where we were last time, kind of, sort of. The foundation will be, again, this understanding of a truth called that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. And so I do have some notes, and but the way it triggered, I was talking to Jessica yesterday, who reminded me that we had a teaching today, which was good. I was like, So I was in California last week, so it was a different time zone. Then my wife's situation, and then it was just a lot of things were running around, and I was like, And then I got selected to speak at an international conference, so I was writing on that paper. So still a lot of writing, but not a writing preparing for this. So it was all good. I was reading an article in Scientific America. And so in the notes, you'll see that I've got three sources from this teaching. One source is this magazine called Scientific America. It's called Scientific America Mind. And then the other source will be the Bible. Hey, it's good. And which is, we'll listen to them again. And the other source is Revelation. So the way the Lord works with me is, obviously, he's always communicating, and he works with you guys too. He's always communicating to you. Now, sometimes we don't listen very well, and so the Father, because he's good, he'll tell us the same message several times, different ways. Okay, and he may even use unbelievers. Can you believe that? So God is not limited at all in his way to communicate with us. Okay, and so for decades have read and studied about this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, which says, therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the fresh new has come. And so, I've heard the scripture for literally decades, and the thing about scripture, it's good. Yeah, it's always good. But there's a tendency for people to do what in the Bible it says in James, to be hearers of the word and not doers. And so the Bible, or any verse that you read, anything that the Father says to you, will not benefit you unless you do it, right? And then you can't do it unless you believe it, okay? So, part of our maturity in this walk is learning to... in relation is to believe the one you're walking with, and the one we're talking about is the Father God. And so I've been pondering this thing about, what's it mean to be a new creation, and the Greek word is kainos, we'll go there a little bit. But when I was reading in the sauna about this, about the brain, okay, and the article in Scientific America is called What Happens in the Brain When We Read, okay. And so I bought the magazine really to help me in my research for my paper I have to deliver in October to another international audience, not as good as you guys, because you guys are my favorite international audience, but it'll be another international audience in October that I got to speak to face to face. But as this article caught my attention, because it was kind of, what happens in the brain when you read? So we all read our Bibles a little bit or a lot, right? And pretty much the article talks about a part in your brain. It's called the visual word form area. They call it VWFA. Pretty much, I'm not going to read you the article, but the article pretty much says that it talks about the research that people, when they read, your brain associates each word with a picture. Okay, so they did a study, and it gave people all these words, some words that they knew, and then some words they made up. So the words didn't have any meaning; they just made up words, right? And the people had them wired up during a brain surgery, so their brain, they were fully alert and alive and awake, alive, yeah. And their brain was wired up, and the different parts of their brain were being measured, you know, what was lighting up. And there's a part of the brain that is triggered when you read. So researchers led by a neuroscientist, this guy's got a cool name, Maximilian Reisenhuber. You got to be smart with that kind of name, right?
You know? Yeah.
My name is Maximilian Reisenhuber. Whatever I say goes, right? Of Georgetown University Medical Center scanned the brains of 12 subjects with functional MRI. They focus on the tiny area of the brain known to be involved in recognizing words, the visual word form area, VWFA, found on the surface of the brain behind the left ear. So everyone touch your left ear behind your left ear. No, you don't have to do that, but you can if you want to. The VWFA's right hemisphere analog is the fusiform face area, which allows us to recognize faces, right? So I'm really good at recognizing faces, but I don't attach names or words with that. Anyway, in young children and people who are illiterate, the VWFA region and the fusiform area both respond to faces. As people learn to read, the VWFA region is co-opted for word recognition. So basically, you know, in non-scientific words, your brain assigns an image with the words. Every word that you learn, your brain puts an image with it. So when we were little, you learned A's for apple. The word apple gets an image. Hopefully, it's the right image, right? And anyway, yeah. And so you're basically I talked about this on some message that God uses images to communicate. And it seems like we use images to communicate ourselves. So when we read, we're not reading words. We're actually, the words get translated to images. And here's the fun part. Here's the part of the revelation I want to kick into. So when I read this article and put it down and did some more sweating in the sauna, the Lord was saying, if you read something and you don't have and you don't know what that word means, and you have no image associated with that word, then you cannot have what you're reading. And I thought, what? And he brought back the scripture. So when you read about being a new creation in Christ Jesus, if you do not have an image associated with new creation with Christ Jesus, then you can't be that. And then I said, interesting. But then what he also said is what religion and the enemy will do is they'll give you a wrong image. And so many times, well, for me personally, when I thought about being a mature Christian, I thought that the image in my mind was a guy with who looked like a pastor. So the collar thingy and the black suit. And so I thought to be mature was to look like that. So my image of a new creation in Christ Jesus was that. Or sometimes they get religious and they'd be like Jesus and they'd have a robe and sandals type thingy, right? But the point is, if you don't have the image, you can't agree with it. Okay? Got that? And so what you think matters. And so what you think is very, very important, because you can read the word, hear prophetic words, but if you don't associate the right images with what you hear, what you read, then you're not in agreement with it. Okay? And if you're not in agreement with it, you can't be it or become it or have it. You got that?
Yeah.
So it's very important how what we assign. So as I was pondering that again in the sauna, I was like, okay, so then the scripture came up, and I don't have the reference for it, but we've all heard the Ten Commandments. One of them says, do not, create a graven image of me, don't make any idols, right? And I was like, okay, so what's that have to do with anything? And then the scripture, one of my other favorite scriptures, is 2 Corinthians 3:18, that says, and all of us with unveiled face continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. So the image that we need to have of who we're going to be like cannot come from our imagination, cannot come from a picture of Jesus, because there are no photographs of Jesus, right? And it can't come from all those things, it has to come from Him. So in order for us to become like Jesus, we have to behold Him, and we need Him to give us an image that we need to behold. So again, it's back to relationship. We can't be a believer without Him who gives us the ability to believe. We can't walk in relationship with our Creator without our Creator. We can't even love without Him giving us the ability to love. And so, therefore, so on. So, and so we can't make, and what happens is a lot of us, well, maybe not you guys, but for me, I have a tendency to, I think it's a thing after the fall. We guess like Father's like, when we guess like God's like, and we basically create God in our own image, you know. We can't believe He's that good or that loving. We think He judges like we judge, but He doesn't. So we need revelation. We need for Him to reveal Himself to us. We need to look up that image, because as He is, so we're going to be. But the key thing is, are we lined up with that same image? And it's not about guessing. It's just about in relation, you know, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? So I need to be open to whatever the Father wants to paint image of Himself to me. And I get, and so the paintbrushes that He uses is His Word. Okay, so as we meditate on Scripture and we think about it and ponder it, we have to, at some point in that thinking about it and pondering, we start believing it. And as soon as we believe it, I think as soon as we believe what we've read, I think that allows the Father to create the image of the what we need to behold and see. So it sounds difficult, but it's easy for God, and all things are possible for those to believe. Key words, believe, right? So any thoughts on this, because we're getting around to the point that we can't be a new creation in Christ Jesus until we know what that is. And what it is an image that only the Father can create for us, not what a person can tell us it is. But we're going to talk about that shortly. Thoughts?
Sure, it's so timely for me. This is exactly what I've been asking the Father this week. And I listened to a short clip by Graham Cook. He was just also just talking about the personality of God and how the first time He revealed Himself was to Moses in Exodus 34. I think he said it was, you know, where he said he'll hide Moses in the cleft of the rock. He spoke about His loving kindness. So I'm very excited for this tonight.
Anybody else? So the part we're going to look at, again, is that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5. I guess it's verse 16 and 17, but we're going to really focus on verse 17. Well, verse 16, we read that. And this is amplified. So 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of a natural standard of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human point of view and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of Him that we know Him no longer in the terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So a high-level definition of the word new creation is something new, right? In the Greek, the word is kainos. And I'm going to go through a lot of these definitions so that we can get a better understanding of who we are or what we are, right? And so one definition says, denotes new of that which is unaccustomed or unused. Not new in time or recent, but new as to form in quality of a different nature. Okay, so we get a whole new nature, right? Recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn. So the part, so it's not, we're not being refurbished. We're not, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you know, we're humans and we met Jesus and he threw his blood on us and we're now just blood washed saints. And I've heard that been taught a lot. We're not blood washed. You know, we're not, it's not just Wally with Jesus' blood on me and now I'm clean. It's when his blood came on me, I became something totally different, something that's never been seen before. It's totally new. Okay, it's new in kind. It's not just cleaned up. It's just not refurbished. It's just not enhanced. It's some, it's a brand new, it's never existed before, right? It's unprecedented is a cool word. Uncommon, unheard of, right? So the day at some point when Jesus, you know, became mine, I became his, the old Wally ceased from existing, the new Wally did. Now our brains can't comprehend that, but we're not talking about living from ability of comprehending. We're talking about living from the place of believing what he did. Okay, and that's the difference. And that's the life that we need to kind of we need to walk in. Not necessarily understand. We just need to walk in it. We need to be doers of what he said and not thinkers about it. Because if we think about it, we can remain in the old way in who we were. So it's kindness is new and kind, and in contrast to what was previously existed, it took the place thereof. So we were swapped out. It just wasn't, you know, Dion enhanced and improved. It was Dion was replaced with a new Dion, right? And so it's, you know, who you were no longer in the mind of God for sure. You're not there, right? It, the new you is here. You've been replaced. Good.
Sure. Good.
And kainos has the also. It's not just, you know, it's not like he made Dion. He made a new Dion with no sin. He made a superior Dion. So this wasn't the swap out. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, version one version. We got an upgrade. So Dion 1.0 got replaced by Dion 2.0. Okay, and so you got to, not only you get swapped out, but you got an upgrade. Okay, you're superior. The new you is far superior than the old you. Okay, which that just blows my mind. I didn't know that until just now. I'm thinking, so Dion, you're awesome. Okay, so and so am I, and everyone who's in Christ. The Weiss translation says, so that assuming that anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation in quality. So we've got an upgrade. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new being. So you're altogether new, right? That's the some translation. Another one says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether, right? When anyone is united in Christ, there is a new world. Well, that's a loud one, you know. A whole new world. That's a good, nice Disney song, right? we are not the same distorted and corrupted humans we once were, subject to the chains of sin and death. We are new. We are kainos new. We are new in quality and in kind and superior to what we were in our fallen state. Now, if you can ponder and get images to any of those words of, okay, the guy that, you know, who's got, we got photos on Facebook and photos in mom's book and photos of us as in the bathtub and all those little photos. I am not that person, right? And so we've got to kind of grasp and learn this mindset, right? Because once you start believing that you are superior, now that you're in him, you're totally different, okay, then what we're going to talk about is how does this mindset work practically, right? Because the thing that I learned in the sauna was, if you can't see yourself as totally new quality, new in Christ Jesus, then you really can't act like that. You really can't be who you are. You can't be who he says you are, right? And the scripture is Proverbs 23:7, for as man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you can't agree with what the Father says about you in your mind, in your will, then it's hard for you to be what the Father made you to be. Okay?
Sure.
So, but the practical thing is, you know, this is where we have some discussion. And I picked three areas. I don't know if these are the best three areas for discussion, but before we get there, so are we seeing this gap between what we've been taught most of our lives, you know, and what's real? I didn't know that I am something totally different from when I said my prayer, you know, for salvation 125 times, right? But it's really not about the prayer. It's about the relationship. It's about the union, right? So we've got to understand. Well, it's not understand. We have to just learn what He did for us, right? And then agree and just believe it, because I don't think we'll ever understand it, right? And so, and we don't want to stop at trying to. And there's people who, you know, get their PhD and who are just busy trying to figure out what He did for me. Well, if you stay there, that's good, and you can be thankful, but you'll never live your life if you just stay in the Father changed me, the Father made me new, He's awesome. Well, that's good, but you have a thing. Once you've been made new, there's something to do, right? You've been made new to do something, to live your life, right? We need to get we need to be busy with the Father's business. That's what we need to be busy about. So, you know, what is this thing? And again, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that as we behold what the Word says about us, as we look at it, as we see it, we can become like it, right? And that's the key thing. As we behold it, as we look on it, as we study it, as we accept it, as we hold that image of who we are, and it says we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image. That kind of blows church away, right? Right. I'm being transfigured into Him. What? don't reject the truth. You know, don't try to understand the truth. Just accept it and go with it, right? It's like going through. You guys have car washes in South Africa and New Zealand, right? When you pull your car in, you can stop, you know. But if you do stop, you know, and you don't keep driving through with it, you know, you can have damage to your car, right? But if you go with the process, you'll come out a nice clean car. But you have to agree with the process. And I think we need to learn to agree with the Father's process. If He says He's transfiguring us into His very own image, we need to say yes and go with it. And say, oh, what do I do with that? You know, okay, do I let my windows down, windows up? Do I raise my hands, not raise hands? Do I go to that church? How do I participate in this process of transfiguring? Do I read my Bible, not read my Bible? Do I dream, not dream? Do I take notes, don't take notes? Do I listen to Wally Guy? Do I listen to Americans at all? Do I only listen to South Africans? Who do I? Okay, but what's true is I got to behold you. But is there anything hindering me from being transfigured? So I'll stop doing those things and start doing the things which help me stay in the process, right? Any thoughts on that?
No thoughts, keep going.
Yeah, we're good. Just like
we're cheering on it.
Because I told you to stop thinking 30 times, so you're like, it's a trick question. he told us to think, and he asked us what I think. Okay.
Got no thoughts, keep going.
That's the correct answer. You may stay in the game. You stay in the process. You'll be in transfigured. Continue. All right. Okay, so I think in the fact that we have this thing called a will, right? I think we can stay in the process, get out of the process. I think the enemy can trick us, right, to start thinking or to, you know, think it's not working or think that, oh, I stopped too long. I didn't believe, therefore I'm out of the process. It doesn't say that. It says if you stay engaged, you get transfigured, right? So it's game on, right? Just stay in there. But I was in the sauna. I wanted to get practical, right? So I had three areas that one is really easy. Two is like, you know, very tricky. And the third one is very, very, very practical. We all experience. So the first one's easy. But we need to get our mind around all three of these areas. Because as you go through this process, it's you are going through the process. Your mind, your will and emotions, your body and your spirit is going through this process. But the part of you that can disengage the process is your mind. Okay? Your will can say, I'm out, anytime you want to, right? Your will, your ability to agree, can say, I agree or disagree. You have the ability to believe or not believe, right? So I want to look at three areas of going through the process, what we do practically. And the first one's kind of easy, so it's a warm-up area. So the first area would be worship, okay? Oh, this is easy. It's easy to behold the Lord when we're talking about Him, singing about Him, dancing about Him, when we're in the midst of worship, right? So this shouldn't be that hard, but let's think about it. Okay, how do I worship knowing that the one that I am beholding, I'm going to be like, right? Wow. But if you keep pondering that, it's like, well, that's good because a father would only marry someone he is like, right? So this process of making us like Him allows us to be fully in union with Him, right? And so, but we need to realize that when we go into worship, it's probably one of the better environments that helps us stay in this process, right? But we need to, when we're in worship, sometimes we worship, we go and worship for all kind of reasons, right? Sometimes, you know, when you don't know anything, you're just, oh, this is part of the service. That's how I was for many years. Oh, the worship service, what a waste of time. Let's get to the Word. And some churches have drama. Let's get to the drama portion and the teaching portion, right? And let's skip the worship, right? But I think if we realized what the benefits and values of worship are, but you know, what do you think about when you worship? What are you believing for when you worship? What are you focusing on when you worship? Are you distracted by things at home, or can you worship at home? Some people can't worship at home. There's so many things going on. They have to get to out of their house, out of their car, and into a controlled environment, and with a worship team, you know, and that worship pulls them into that place of worship, right? And I would say if that's true, that's good. It's better than no worship, right? But we've got to get to the place where we can establish our environment, right? We're not babies where we're, you know, needing someone to change our clothes, feed us, right? We have the ability now as new creations to step into an environment of worship, to step into an environment that helps us to stay in this transfiguration process, right? Yeah. So any thoughts on this reality of, okay, if I'm totally new, if I'm Dion 2.0, or Jessica 2.0, or Jenny 2.0, or Wally 2.0, something brand new to the planet, how does my worship, is it different now that I know that I'm in a process, or is it the same? Thoughts?
Well, for me, it's a matter of knowing I am in that process, but at the same time, I'll sometimes forget that I'm in the process. But I find that when I'm doing worship, sometimes some worship doesn't engage me. And sometimes, it depends what the worship really is. I'm quite a fussy kind of person with music and stuff. So I tend to try and go with stuff that really gets me into the throne room and gets me into the heavenlies. And so I get moved by almost like a romance kind of worship, in a sense. But if that makes any sense. But I am a worshipper for sure. And I like to dance as well. And that's it, really.
Yeah, I think when you engage your body, you know, in worship, and again, when I say worship, you know, it's a lot about, you know, it's like you said, some music is not a worship environment, right? And yeah. Music is, you know, coming from a person, and whatever that person's in, that person is being released, right? So if that person doesn't have a full relationship with the Father, then you're getting a dysfunctional sound with the right words, and it may not feel like worship because there's no love there, right? There's dysfunction there. And so worship is really about you and the one you're setting your affections on, right? And sometimes the music helps, and sometimes the music doesn't help, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't need music. I mean, I grew up thinking that, you know, in my bad TV addiction, I thought when I went on my first real date, I thought I had to sing to the girl, because in every movie I'd watched, the guy sang, right? So on my first date, I'm waiting for this background music to appear, to sound, and I'd have to sing. And so I was very happy that there was no music sounding, but when the radio turned on, I thought, oh my gosh, I have to sing a song to her, you know? And so I started, you know, I'd freeze up, you know, and like, you know, and she's looking at me kind of funny. I'd go, what are you doing? Nothing. And I thought it was a bad date because I didn't sing, right? And I realized that, you know, years later, days later, I don't have to sing. No one else is singing. Okay. Only on TV you sing. Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, sometimes self.
Well, you could have just big joke. You could have actually just lifted up your sound system like that movie Say Anything, John Cusack, and played the song.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about that. But when you engage your mind and your emotions and your body and your thoughts, I think you're more into it, right?
Mm.
And but sometimes we get self-conscious and we think about ourselves when we don't. Then we're not really worshiping, because worship is about giving yourself to somebody else, right? And so that's a hindrance to worship. Anybody else on worshiping as a 2.0?
Alicia's put a note on there.
Yeah, I was kind of paraphrasing that. Sometimes I am self-conscious. I know it's selfish, but I would love to overcome. I like to dance, too. But she forgot to say she likes to drum. And us hand drummers, I've found that when you dance, you know, your feet and your hands, your body are fully engaged. When you play the drums, when your hand is touching the instrument and producing a sound, you are creating your environment, which is different from just singing. It's different from just singing with. But when you hit the drum, you create a sound, and the vibration comes through your hand. And so there's a frequency that you're creating, and you get to fully engage spirit, soul, and body, because all music is effective in both realms, in the natural realm and the spiritual realm. So I found that when you engage with the hand drums, it is open to a whole new realm. So that's my little advertisement for everyone should have a drum. Okay. And we all can sing, and don't say you can't, because yeah. I dated a girl who had an awesome voice, and she was afraid to sing. And whenever I would sing in my very large, my very loud volume, she would critique me. And I'm like, I'm not singing to you, you know? Mm-hmm. but but people are listening. I don't care. I'm singing loud because it's a long way between here and heaven. And she would, she wouldn't laugh. I thought it was funny, but anyway. Okay, so let's get to the my harder question. Okay, so to get your minds right, right? You're altogether new. You're superior to who you were, right? You have His divine nature in you. You are an upgrade. So, but you're still on planet Earth. So how does this new reality in the very practical area of sin, okay, the S-I-N word, right? Because I don't think any of us are perfect. So in dealing with sin as a 2.0 individual who knows better, who's not wired for sin, who's not a slave to sin anymore, but what happens pre-sin, during the sin, and post-sin? How do you think through this as a new 2.0, superior, not bound by sin anymore? What goes on? Let's focus on the sin part's over, whether it was something small or big, whatever. It's over. What do you do now that you're now, you enter the world of sin again? What do you do?
I was just thinking that it's like we try to renew our minds. So it's like trying to be mindful, and then when thoughts come, we try and go, is that what God says about me now? Like, He's made me a new creation, so does that line up about what He says about me? Or if it's not, then you've got to try and, like, provide truth for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Does the sinful activity change who you are?
I would think that sometimes if people sin and then they continue to sin, aren't they changing themselves? Like, aren't they, you know, going away from God? If they know it's wrong and then they keep doing it.
So I can go away from God, but does that change me from being a 2.0 anymore?
No.
Yeah, that's the thing we have to realize, because the enemy would try to tell you that now that you've, you know, returned to sin, right, you have left your high place. And you have left, but the enemy will try to tell you that you're no longer superior, you're no longer like Christ, you're no longer. You're like me. You know, the enemy. And that's the lie. We need to go back to what the truth has said. The Bible would say, and now that you've come in the kingdom, you can leave. Nope. Now your thoughts can, but it doesn't change who you are, right? So basically, you can be a 2.0 person, you know, stay in sin, right, and partake in death. And, you know, when you finally have the fruit of death, you'll die, but you're still a new creation in Christ Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Nothing can separate you from His love. Yeah. Even your own acts of wrongness. And that's the thing that we have to realize when we do mess up, when we do get off the process, it doesn't change who we are. It just stops the process. Okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we don't get into the, oh no, I used to get saved every Sunday, right? And I do something, feel bad, and go, ah, let's start over again. Okay? And the enemy go, yeah, keep them, you know, stay in that little process. But we don't, see, the thing is, we don't save ourselves, and we can't kick ourselves out, right? Jesus saves us, right? And what He saved, He never lets go, right? And the work He does it completely, right? You can't do anything to make Him unlove you, right? Or unmake you. When He made you new, you became 2.0, period. You can't undo that, right? And that's the battle in the midst of when we do something that, you know, when it comes to our attention, or when we, you know, apparently do the wrong thing, right? It means we're not beholding him anymore, right? We need to go back to beholding him and get back in the transfiguration process. And it really is that simple, but we make it a big deal, you know. Yes. Especially, you know, if we stay in sin longer than a minute or a day or a month or whatever period of time, the longer we behold the wrong thing, it is harder to go back to beholding the right thing, but not impossible.
Yes. So can I just say something, Willie?
Yeah, yeah.
So are you saying that basically we are a new creation, but if we, like, sin, we kind of stifle the growing process of us continually, like, getting into that new creation. But then when we come back, it's like we carry on a bit further. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. That's really good. I think I've needed to hear this, because I think I thought that I've just, yeah, I never make it. Okay.
I understand.
Yay. But yeah, I mean, the truth is amazing, right? But I guess the lies that we've been fed are just, you know, I mean, so again, you know, yesterday at the gym, I was, you know, during my aerobics time, I was watching the interview with Bruce Jenner. So it may have slipped over to your continent that, you know, Bruce Jenner, world's greatest athlete, is now going to be Caitlyn Jenner. And he's been going through his... Anyway, so this interview, which I watched 40 minutes of, and I was first, you know, pretty disgusted, you know, from, you know, the day they heard about his deal. Then I was like, let me look into this, right? And so I'm listening to him talk. Right, it wasn't somebody else talking for him. It was him talking during the interview, and I was like, wow, you know. And of course, I'm, at the same time, in the back of my brain, I'm pondering about being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Right, and I'm looking at this guy, going like, dude, you're recreating yourself because of a thought, okay? And he had a thought when he was 8 years old. The thought was, what do I look like in my mom's dress, right? And he waited to everyone leave the house, and he put on the dress. And then the next day, he got a little bolder, and he put the dress on and went outside and put a scarf on. And he started to be holding the image of himself looking like a girl, right? And he is 65 years old now, and according to his words, he's been battling with, you know, being in his right skin for 55 years, right? And I'm going like, huh, okay, alrighty, you know, is okay. I'm done with this, you know, 40 minutes of this guy. But the thing was, he was dealing with an image, right?
Mm.
He was beholding the wrong image, is what I believe, right? And you will have whatever you behold, right? And so the image of him being a woman is so big, he actually took steps, you know. He's in the full process, and now he's, you know, whatever he is now. But according to the article, he no longer is going to be a he. He's going to be she.
Yeah.
You know, so. But that's why it's important that we deal with the images in our mind, right? And we don't replace them with our own thoughts of what should be. We replace them. We allow the Father to give us the right images, okay?
Yeah.
And for Bruce, he didn't allow the Father to give him the right image. It's not too late. You know, he's done a lot of off-process activity, right? Mm-hmm. And but it's not too late. He can still get, ask the Father for the right image and behold that image and get back on track, right? Mm-hmm. So, all right. So let's get to a, you know, more practical one. Okay, we're 2.0. Tuesday night's coming. How do we, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, behold our Tuesday night dinner with friends or family? What is different this Tuesday as something that's never been seen before on the planet? Is there a difference? Or is there no difference?
The freak happened in here.
Sorry, just repeat the question again.
Yeah, so the third area would be, you know, Tuesday night dinner.
Yeah.
Would this Tuesday be different if you're thinking yourself as a new creation in Christ Jesus, or would it be the same?
Oh my gosh, who are you talking to?
It's those strangers from across the world.
How many hours are you
going to
be teaching?
another 22 minutes or 15 or less from the last point.
What kind of question are you asking? What could be different?
Well, I think so, but I need to see if they know that.
I don't quite understand the question.
Okay, so...
So knowing what you know now, being a two-point, whatever,
yes.
A two-point new creation,
yeah.
What will change for you? Will it change, won't it change? Am I right, Wally?
Yep, she's right.
It would be, obviously, I'm not obviously, but it's very rude, but it would definitely change if you're thinking you're 2.0. There's no doubt.
With new thinking.
With new thinking, thought patterns.
Oh, what would be different?
Your mindset would be different.
Oh, how's that translate in the practical of you setting dishes and cooking dinner and being with your kids and your wife? Because this has to be real, or is it? Are we playing this only Sunday thingy, right? How does being a new creation in Christ Jesus change our day-to-day life, right?
It doesn't. It's up to you and God.
Of course it's the you and God, but God's not coming to dinner. Well, he's already there at dinner, but... But, so I'm trying to get our mindset around the fact that, one, being in this process doesn't happen when we're by ourselves. It's happening all the time. But what's different? Are we at dinner? Do we now... have access to the mind of Christ, and we can say the right thing to our son and daughter at the table? Do we have the right ingredients this time versus the wrong ingredients last time? Are we like, I just came back from the store, did I buy the right foods for Tuesday night dinner? You know what I mean? Are things just all natural? And I'm saying that we need to realize who we are, and we're not bound to natural anymore.
Yeah.
And it affects everything in our life. It affects our vacuuming, it affects our dusting, it affects the fact that I need to organize my desk and the kitchen, and I need to tap into the new me, not my old me. The old me is not going to do anything in the kitchen. My new me needs to do it faster than I did, but I haven't done. But the new me bought better groceries than the old me would have bought, you know?
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
But if
yeah,
we don't...
Comes a God consciousness.
Ah, there we go. God consciousness. So it's thinking about God more than thinking about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm working on it.
That's very much like Brother Lawrence. We basically cut away the potatoes, and he did it as unto the Lord, right?
And that was his classic book, Practicing the Presence of God.
Yeah.
Yes. Everything he did is unto the Lord.
Yeah, so yes, everything definitely changes.
No doubt.
Well, it should change, right?
Yeah, it should.
And sometimes it doesn't, says my wife.
Yeah, that's true.
But it can change, which is the good thing, right? And the key thing is, the only person it's up to is up to us, right? But if we don't know we're different, then there's definitely not going to change, right? But if we start going like, okay, wait a minute, I'm not the old guy, so, all right, what should I do? And then I got to prepare, right?
You didn't hear me. I have to get a hold of that doctor before the pharmacy closes. You can hear me. Can I have the number for the doctor?
703-393-1667.
Yeah.
Pharmacy closes at 9.
Not on Sunday.
It closes at 11 on weekday.
It's closed, yeah.
They are not closed, pharmacy.
Closes in South Africa. Okay. So I think, you know, the more that we look at who we are, that it should change everything we do.
Yes.
Right? And the person that's in control of the amount of change is us, right? But it starts with us believing who we are. But if we don't start thinking and believing who we are, then there's no change at all, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point, you know? But the point is, it starts with the believing and allowing him to give us an image of what worship should look like, how we should behave after we sin, how we should behave at dinner, how, you know, what changes, right? Some things will change a lot, some things will change a little, right? Alicia mentioned motives. Motives should change, right? But it's not us trying to be better, right? It's letting him change us, right? So it's learning about participating with the process and not doing the let's be perfect. Because if you spend your energy trying to be good, then you'll be something. You'll be in your image. Or you can spend your energy letting him change you, which means I need to spend more time believing the truth and believing the truth, which is beyond my understanding, which is supernatural, right?
No.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible for me to become like Jesus. Okay? You know? I can agree with the process, but I can't do anything
to make me
like that.
Yeah.
And that's the part that where it's not a one-time prayer or a one-time service or a one-time anything. It's a, oh my, I've got to believe again. Yeah, I've got to stay engaged. How do I do that? I don't know. Father, how do I do that? How do I do that with, in my case here, my wife with a broken arm? How do I do that when I'm in California? How do I do that with my dog? How do I do that talking to international people? How do I do that? I don't have it in myself. I have it in him, right?
Yes.
And the way I engage is staying in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the only way.
So, thoughts about that?
It's so easy how we lose it, though. Huh? I mean, it seems like everybody has the same challenge. Not everybody, but most people believers have the same challenge. When they get saved, those first couple of days, they feel like they're totally different, and then all of a sudden, something changes. Not even the lives, really.
Yeah, I mean, my CVS hour is actually 7 o'clock. I was wrong. Saturday it's 9 o'clock, for all those who care. And the recording. And that's East Coast time in Virginia. The thing is, we have to, it's easy to look away, right? But the same effort it takes to look away is the same effort it takes to stay engaged, right? But the key thing is, it takes an effort. You can't be passive with it, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, when people first come into a relationship with Jesus, there's the zeal, it's the excitement of something new, right? Mm-hmm. And after a while, they get used to it, and then the zeal goes away, and they get distracted, right? But it doesn't have to be the way, you know, because that's why it talks about, you know, the angels cry holy every time, you know, God does something. Because they keep looking, right? And if we would keep looking, we'd have the same response. But we kind of look everywhere, you know, instead of looking, you know, retaking our, you know, bringing our mind back and our focus back to the one who loves us, right? And if we realize we're not growing, and we realize anything is if something is not new, that means we've stepped off the process, right? Because yeah. His mercies are new every morning. There's a new thing in Him, right? So then you get into the argument of, well, I'm going through a dry spell. Okay, wait a minute. Are you really going through a dry spell, or are you going through a process you don't understand, right? Right. There's no scripture says, and then you go through a dry spell. There's scripture talking about going through the valley of the shadow of death. You got Joseph going through the pit, but there's constant movement there, right? And there's always time for us to stay engaged, right? Will we hold fast our confession? Will we continue to believe when it's not easy to believe, right? But we still can believe. Nothing can stop us from believing. We're tempted to stop believing, but
yeah.
So that's when we get to encourage each other, right? Hey, you're off track. Oh, my bad. You know, let's get it going again. You know, and not not talk about being off track. Let's talk about being on track. Right?
Yeah.
There's enough books out there and movies and videos of people who live off track, right?
Yes.
And we need to say, hey, that's why the scripture, the 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, oh, I no longer look at my friends as humans. I look at them as new creations also. And so if that's true, I could see Dion as 2.0 when Dion may look at himself as 1.0. So now that I'm 2.0, I need to remind Dion, dude, stop living 1.0 life. You're a 2.0 man. Oh, yeah. Thanks, right? Yes. And so I should be talking about 1.0 living. I should be talking about 2.0 living and living it. You know, so I should be either demonstrating 2.0 or talking 2.0, right? Mm-hmm. And if anyone gets off track, I shouldn't go, oh, you're back at 1.0. No, I don't know you that way anymore. I know you as 2.0, right? And so if you ever, you're off, you're not having a good day, I need to remind you who you are, right? And that's why we're in a body, right? Because, there are days and moments and seconds that we don't feel 2.0, we don't look 2.0, we're not acting 2.0, we're not thinking 2.0, but we still are 2.0.
Yes, right? The truth, yeah.
So
that's where word says encourage each other daily, huh?
Yeah, and sometimes every second.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Everybody else is so quiet tonight.
I know, it's they're beholding and pondering, I guess.
Must be. New Zealand's quiet. Cool. Jessica. You there, Jessica? I think she's gone.
I'm here. I'm just doing lots of stuff because I'm making breakfast for my nana and all that. But I'm listening.
Oh, good. Okay.
I think it's really, really good. And this is another truth that I needed to... And even Nana just agreed. I need to...
Hi, Nana.
She just said yes.
Yeah. So if Nana says yes, then it's all good.
For sure.
But that's true, though. We do need to, do whatever it takes to remind ourselves who we are and remind ourselves that we're in a process, right? And remind ourselves that He's faithful to stay in the process with us, right? He's not frustrated or like, Wally's behind schedule. He's not doing that.
Yeah.
Now, what he is doing is he's tracking our process and how much we believe and don't believe and da-da-da-da. But he also has another plan going on, right? He has a plan that we're a part of. He's got a plan for this planet, a plan for all creation. And all of his plans will be successful. Now, whether he uses Dion 2.0 on July 5th, to be a part of his plan for Pluto, that's up to Dion, right? But Pluto will have its highest call. It will happen, right? So he may have to use Alicia. because Dion got distracted, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But Pluto will be saved. Okay. Right. And so it's up to us if we want to be a part of everything, or not. You know. Yeah. Either way, we have the best life possible.
Yes.
Wow.
So everyone should change your name to something and add 2.0 to it. or just, but really, whatever, it, I mean, like, you know, all of my passwords remind me of who I am. You know, from my laptop to my work passwords to my combination lock, they all trigger me to more than who I am, right? I used to put up signs, you know. I have probably a dozen or more Superman shirts. So every time I put my Superman shirt, I realize that I am more than this, right? You know, I've got a Guardians of the Galaxy shirt to remind me that that's my high calling, right?
Cool.
I have a lot of things that trigger me to remind me of what God thinks about me, right? And I do my best when someone says something less than that to not meditate on that, but to go back and read my journal to do something to re-engage so that my mind, my thoughts, you know, when I go to the gym, you know, my motivation is something from Smith Wigglesworth that says, he said something like, his spirit man is, I don't know, 4 times bigger than his physical man. So when I'm in the gym, I'm like working out to compete with my spirit man, right?
No.
But I'm thinking about how big I am from God's perspective, not how big I am from my human perspective, right? Mm. But I do all kind of things to remind myself of not who I think I am, but who the Father thinks of me, right?
Wow. That's
good. So you... And you can do, you guys know you better than I know you, you know. You know the reminders you need, right?
Yeah.
And the Father knows what you need to know, too. So if you think you're slacking in an area, ask Father for a strategy, right? You know.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, whatever, you know, because he's fully committed, right? And he wants us to be fully committed into the process too. So we need more grace, more strength, whatever more he has it, right? But we have to ask, right? And our asking is a means of engaging. Our asking is a means of staying involved. Our pursuing with our words, with our passion, with our focus is showing him that we're engaged and showing ourselves. I'm still in this, right? You know, so, and that's the important thing, and even more so, it shows our friends and family, and it shows the enemy that we know the King, and the King is with us, and we're going to kick his butt, all right? Mm-hmm. So, alrighty. Well, if there's nothing else, I'm going to sign off.
Okay.